Hello, everyone, and welcome to Digital Roadmap, an old-school gaming podcast, where we explore how the games of the past brought us the games we love today. This episode, we're going to take a broad look at the action role-playing game genre and some of the prime examples of the different styles that exist within it. Now, while a lot of action role-playing games do branch off in different directions, they do have a lot of unique characteristics depending on what sub-aspect of it you're dealing with. We are going to look at some of the very basic core elements that kind of tie them all together. First and foremost, you have loot grinding. You're basically gathering gear nonstop throughout the entire game. Any game that's in this genre, you're going to be constantly acquiring new gear. You're going to be constantly upgrading your gear, mostly through what falls as opposed to buying it in shops. Another big thing is because it's a role-playing game, you do get some sort of stat growth. It may not be obvious, it may not be clear, but there's some sort of leveling mechanic, some sort of growth mechanic for your character, so that you get stronger as the game goes on, as you reach the end, as you reach beyond the end a lot of the time. You become a stronger, faster, more powerful character. Another thing these games feature a lot of is loot grinding. You're going to want to get a lot more loot. You're going to keep gathering more loot, upgrading, changing it out as you go along. Another key aspect, usually there's going to be at least one hub center. You're going to have one core town or multiple towns, as it may be, or bases or what have you. And then they branch off into the different action areas, come back to that area, sell your gear, repair your gear, heal up, rest up, kind of recollect, and then branch out again. Now, a key feature, I don't know if I've mentioned it yet or not, is that there is a lot of loot grinding going on in these games. A lot of these games, the vast majority of them, because they're action role-playing games instead of turn-based or more mechanical-based role-playing games, they have very high focus on twitch combat. So it's the speed that you click, it's the reaction times that you as a player have, as opposed to just exclusively the long line of stats that your character has. That being said, those stats do play in. Most of the time, you can't hit, or you won't do as much damage if your stats don't allow for it, or if you're a little bit of a weaker character. One thing you're going to watch out for while you're playing any type of action RPG is loot grinding. It's a very common thing. It's very popular. I should have mentioned that sooner. A really big element of it in many of them, not all of them, but a large number of them do feature procedural generation. What that is, this is a concept that's going to keep coming up through a lot of games that we cover over here. I've got a few others lined up on my list already that are going to focus on procedural generation. But what it basically comes down to is you're looking at either the map or your gear or even just the loot table that it's using at any given time to get you your free gear being completely generated from scratch. This goes all the way back to the original kind of computer role-playing game called Rogue, which was actually built out on servers and then ported to different systems over and over and over again from the original university setups. But you'll get games that most of the time it'll be the map. A lot of the time it's going to be the gear as well. Completely randomized, completely generated from scratch, completely dumped on top of you. It's a great way to ensure a level of replayability because you're not just going to be able to load it up again and run through the exact same map without any challenge at all. Oh, and these games also feature a lot of loot grinding. Now, typically when we look at any given genre, we usually cover it from one to the next in a very chronological order, looking at how the genre as a whole evolved. This time we're going to do it a little bit differently, just hit on a few key elements, hit on a few key parts of it, only because the genre evolved in so many different directions at any given time. So let's get down to it. Let's start looking at action role-playing games. The first game we're going to look at is the Nintendo classic Legend of Zelda. I just think it's a perfect example. I think pretty much everybody's played that, or they've played Link to the Past, or one of those games, one of those core games. It gives a very great example of most of the stuff, gives you some very great ideas. For those of you that haven't played, the game itself does have a top-down focus. Most of your progression, though, is through the gear that you gather. And so you don't necessarily level up in the traditional sense, but you will find a better sword, you'll find your boomerang, your arrow, you'll find all those items that therefore make you stronger, make you able to do more, allow some more endurance when you get different armor. What this doesn't have procedural generation for the maps and all that. It is a fixed map, especially at the time with Nintendo, they needed to do that. But as a fixed map, the only real replay value, the only real mix-up other than just wanting to play it again and again and again, is that when you start a new game plus after you've beaten the game, it's going to have a different order. The dungeons are in different order. The secrets have been moved. All those things require you to learn a whole new layout for the section. Now, one of the good examples, the loot grinding of this game isn't obviously in getting core gear, but if you're looking for arrows, if you're looking for bombs, if you're looking for money, it's not guaranteed. It's done through a loot table. It's done through basically randomized drops from monsters. So certain monsters will drop certain things, but they aren't always guaranteed to drop it, and they might drop one thing versus another depending on how many items they're programmed to drop. So that gives you a small idea of the randomness that can be found in these games. So if we jump ahead, we're going to look more at the PC genre now. Pretty much everything else from here on out is PC or PC as well as console. I'm kind of lumping two games together here at this point because I'm more familiar with the latter of the two, to be honest. But we're going to look at The Elder Scrolls, the first two games in that franchise. So we're looking at Arena and we're looking at Daggerfall. Both of them, these were the ones that really set up the formula for that franchise. So you have your stat-based attack rolls. Just because you see your sword go into a creature doesn't mean you're going to hit it. It all comes down to your stats. Unlike something like Zelda or some of the other ones we're going to talk about, this is a first-person perspective. This was early first-person perspective as well in PC games. In terms of role-playing games, shooters have been doing it for a while already. The loot drops on the enemies are completely random. There's times you will find super overleveled gear on the corpse of a rat. Sometimes you'll kill a big boss. You might not find anything too major on him outside what a certain quest item is going to end up being. This obviously set up some tropes. It set up a joke for the remake of The Bard's Tale where they talk about finding an armoire, 50,000 gold, a sword, a complete dining set all inside the corpse of a wolf. It's a nice joke that they do in that game and very much made me laugh. The progression, the leveling in the Elder Scrolls franchise is different from most others. Instead of a straight experience growth curve, these have skill-based progression. So as you use your skills, they get stronger, they get better. Use enough of them, level up enough individual skills, you get a character level up, which will allow you to increase your core stats as opposed to just doing all that and then getting a pool of numbers that you can kind of distribute amongst your skills and stats as you see fit. These two games, especially Daggerfall, really relied on procedural generation for all their world. Town maps were relatively random. You'd have certain weights to it, so you'd have a certain number of taverns depending on the town size. You'd have a certain number of shops, a certain type of shop, maybe a guild or two. But for the most part, it was very randomized, especially the dungeons. Daggerfall itself is very notorious for the dungeons and the difficulty only because it's so easy to get lost because they went purely, utterly random on their setup. The next ones I'm going to look at are kind of the isometric hack and slash games. I'm going to touch very briefly on Diablo only because for the hack and slash genre, for the isometric hack and slash genre, it is really seen as the granddaddy. It is the god almost of the style. I'm just going to touch on it briefly because obviously it's the next episode. I want to save a lot of the stuff for then. But it's such a long-running franchise. You have three games in the series now with expansion packs for all of them. Bit of a gap between releases, I'll admit that. But at the same time, it's a game that's held up. People are still playing Diablo 2 quite religiously. It is part of the big three brands of Blizzard as well. You have Warcraft, you have Starcraft, and you have Diablo. Those are their big three. You think Blizzard, at least one of those are going to pop into your mind. This game did feature procedural maps every time. So every time you started a new game, every time you dropped down to a new level of the dungeon, the map was completely random. You did not know what you were going into. At the very most, you knew what levels you were going to hit certain boss characters on. And this game has loot everywhere. You cannot swing a sword without dropping loot in the course of a minute. I'm not going to touch more on that, but I will, however, talk about a game very much like Diablo, and that's Torchlight. This was actually from Runic Games and created by two former co-founders of Blizzard North, the developers of Diablo, and you got the Schaefer brothers, Max and Eric. These guys went out and did basically everything they wanted to do with Diablo 2, everything they had done with Diablo 2, but new and better, and this really filled the gap between Diablo 2 and Diablo 3's release. It came basically when people were really clamoring for Diablo 3, this game managed to hit. It's fun, it has a very lighthearted attitude to it, despite all the darkness that's in the actual plot. Again, a ton of loot, a ton of procedural generated maps, a ton of everything crammed into it. You have your core hub town, you have your procedurally generated dungeons, and you have loot everywhere. On top of that, they gave you an animal companion, either a dog or a cat of some sort, and they let you go fishing because by now, fishing had become such a common thing in games that you can't make a game without some sort of fishing mechanic. That being said, they did make the fishing useful for modifying your creature, giving you extra powers, making things, just giving you actual stat boosts if you got really lucky with a rare grab. If I can't talk about Diablo too much, I would love to talk about Torchlight. It's not in the wheelhouse for the show, though. Otherwise, I would give it its own episode alongside Diablo. Needless to say, though, if you're looking for the best of Diablo with some upgraded graphics, Torchlight and Torchlight 2 might be the way to go with that. Next, I want to talk about Borderlands. It was very popular on console. It had a level of popularity on PC. The big thing about it is this was a prime example of the first-person shooter variation of this. So, again, Twitch gameplay, which I've talked about before, very action-based gameplay. It's not so much about your stats, although they do play a factor in how much damage you're going to do. A lot of the effect of this game comes from your reaction speed, your ability to play it like a shooter, but focusing on your gear in order to make your character stronger, as opposed to just straight up leveling, although there is a level mechanic in the game as well. Now, these maps are fairly fixed. This makes it easier for multiplayer playing when you're going to log on with your buddies and you're all going to go whipping through the map. You know where you're heading. One of the nice things it did with that is it still respawned bad guys. Like, you go into your hub town, you come out, there's some new bad guys out there you got to take down that somehow managed to come around. The real procedural generation in this game, and the reason why I want to include Borderlands in this, is because it doesn't generate the maps randomly. It completely randomly generates the gear. Instead of a fixed set of loot tables, you're going to have guns that... It could be a revolver that shoots bullets. It could be a revolver that shoots rockets. They went all out. They had a whole collection of attributes that could be applied to any given weapon. And they just went for it. They let it go nuts. They let you get completely crazy stuff. Sometimes it was a great item. Other times it was completely useless for you. It actually wasted your time and you had to go... You had to basically dump it because it could hurt you, depending on what kind of bonus you're going to get. Now, the last game we're going to touch on in this episode is going to be Dark Souls. Again, popular on the console, also popular on PC. It lacks some of the things that you would expect from an action role-playing game, but I still want to touch on it only because I want to focus on the fact that it does still qualify as it. Now, there's less procedural generation in this game than most. The enemies even have very fixed patterns that you have to fight with, but you have a fixed map. This game does feature some very punishing combat. Some very, very punishing combat. I've had a hard time playing it a lot of the time. But what it does is it doesn't just beat you in a way that's unfair. It doesn't pound on you and hurt you and just make you angry at the game. What it does do is it'll beat you up, but it'll force you to learn the patterns of the guys you're fighting, get better, learn how to counter those combos, and reach the new plateau, and then you do it all over again with somebody else, with some other bad guy you're going with. Now, it does have some random loot drops, pulling from a loot table as opposed to something like Borderlands where it can just give you completely crazy stuff. It also has quest-based rewards, so you do a certain thing, you get a certain item, just so you have a certain fixed progression system, and then it uses, not quite experience, but experience by a different name, it uses the souls of the enemies you defeat that once you spend them, that allows you to get stronger, increase your stats, increase your health, spend them on new skills, spend them on better skills. Like I said, it doesn't sound to the average person like an action role-playing game, but that just shows how broad the definition of this genre has become. I think it might be worth looking into in the future to try and narrow down a few key subgenres in the action RPG genre as a whole. So if you're looking for a prime example, if you're looking for something to play that will give you kind of the core definition of this genre, I have two options for you. It's either going to be Path of the Exile if you don't want to spend anything at all, because that is a free-to-play online game that's basically a Diablo tribute online. The other one is, I'm going to link to it in the show notes with when I mention it, but it's Torchlight. You can actually download a demo version of the game, so you can play it a little bit, pay for it if you want the rest. If not, you've got a demo, which there's never anything wrong with demos in my mind. They're always a great thing to have. Also, if you're looking for one of the first-person action role-playing games, I'm going to link to Daggerfall in the notes as well. You can actually get that completely free. I'm not going to link to the core Bethesda download of it. I'm actually going to link to a third-party one, only because it sets it up for you, ready to run. You don't have to go through the work of setting it up in DOSBox like I do when I go to play. Short though it may be, that's it for the action RPG genre. Thanks for joining us this episode, and if you want to reach out, you can do so either on Twitter, @RoadmapPodcast, or come by the website, roadmappodcast.com. While you're there, either on Twitter or the site, feel free to suggest some older games that we should play. Maybe share some of your favorite memories. Ask some questions. I'm always up to answering them. As long as I have free time, I'm going to get back to you. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a review, 5 stars, 1 stars, it's up to you. It's the only way we're going to get better is if we get feedback, so if you leave a review, please leave an actual text review so I can get some feedback out of that as well. Next episode, we're going to be looking at the classic that I mentioned earlier, the prime example of this genre, kind of the one that everybody thinks of, the original Diablo from Blizzard Entertainment, specifically the studio Blizzard North. So come back in the end of the month, and thanks again for listening.